It is great to be able to be back together again to worship this morning. It's great to see some new faces here this morning as well. You might not know how much of an encouragement that is to those that are serving on a Sunday morning to be able to be together, to worship together. And I know it's an encouragement just to each of us back and forth to be able to be with each other in this kind of a format, just to fellowship before and after the services is so important. So thank you for being here this morning. We are thrilled to have you with us. I am going to, in a second, get us on to the beginning of our message, but my computer has decided that it has a different agenda. So we're going to do this. We've been working through the book of Hebrews, well, the last two chapters of the book of Hebrews, which is Hebrews 12 and 13. We've been talking through that time about Jesus and who Jesus is. And as we've talked about Jesus, we've learned different characteristics of Jesus. We've learned just the person of Jesus and what that should mean to us. So this morning, we're actually going to be finishing this study, and we're looking at three verses this morning, maybe four. And it's really the ending of this book that he writes. There's a benediction, really, that you've heard me use probably multiple times over the course of the years that will be a part of what we're looking at this morning. But I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to start by looking at verses 15 and 16. And then we're going to jump down to 20 and 21 where the benediction is. So starting in verse 15 in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And then we jump down just a few verses to verse 20. It says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This passage, I believe, is really, it's a great reminder to us of who Jesus is. It was God who brought Jesus back from the dead, this passage tells us. It was God who raised Jesus so that he could break the hold that death has over us. We no longer have to fear the consequences of death because of Jesus. Instead, we can have faith in Jesus. And we can embrace death because we have the opportunity to meet God face to face and live forever in the only place of perfection, in heaven with God. But we're reminded that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. We are the sheep and He is the shepherd. He is the one who leads us. He cares for us. He tends to us. He heals us. He feeds us. He washes us. He is the one who will help us fight off our enemies. He's the one who anoints us and leads us to greener pastures beside quiet waters. He's the one who brings us comfort and strength. He's the one who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's the great Redeemer, the Lord of the Lords, and the King of the Kings. There are just a few, those are just a few of the amazing thoughts that we should have about this Jesus. This all happened because of the blood that was shed by Jesus. Without His blood being shed, without Jesus going to the cross, none of this would have been possible. I want you to notice that the covenant is eternal. It's not temporary. It's permanent. It lasts forever and ever. So the ending of that verse 21 said, just as our heavenly home lasts forever. And because of what Jesus did for us, when we trust in Him through the Holy Spirit, we're equipped with everything good so that we can accomplish His will. The goal is to do good deeds because of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. All that we seek to do, it should be pleasing in His sight. And ultimately, we give Him glory and honor and praise. And we do it forever and ever. This really is, it's an amazing passage when you think of what's all implied and what's all a part of it. It's a great reminder of who Jesus is in our lives. So with all of that in mind, we should be thankful, shouldn't we? For who Jesus is? And generally, I think we are. We're a thankful kind of people as a whole. We're especially thankful when things go our way. When life is going the way that we think that it should, the way that we would anticipate it. Then we're really thankful and grateful and praiseful and more. But when life isn't going exactly our way, it's not as easy to remain thankful. Sometimes it's beyond not easy. Sometimes it's just a struggle and we don't succeed with it. I'm going to guess that some of us have struggled in the last 5 months with being able to be thankful at times. This may be a hard season for you and I at times to be thankful. I believe that to be thankful means that we are actively responding with gratitude for the life that God has given to us. But sometimes we do the opposite of being thankful. And to me, the opposite is somebody who is grumbling, complaining, who's critical. Instead of focusing on the good, on our blessings in life, we focus on the opposite. We begin to grumble and complain. I can tell you that I have had in my own life in the last 5 months some ungrateful days. It's just where I'm at. I'm going to believe that some of you have been there with me in these last 5 months. I believe that this is one of the most acceptable sins maybe that we have within the church, this idea of being unthankful. We kind of get used to it, this grumbling, complaining, and bitterness. These have become so common in our country. And the scary part is that not only is it common in our country, but it falls over into our church and into the life of believers. Nothing and nobody is sacred anymore. There's nothing which we don't think that we can comment on. We often don't talk about how we've been blessed. Imagine if we did that. And I'm not suggesting this because I'm also a realist. I like to live life actually in reality a little bit from time to time. So I'm not saying that we should sugarcoat all the troubles of life. But we can remind people, because we believe, that we've still been blessed. Even when there are troubles in life. Because we believe, because we have Jesus Christ as a part of our life, we are still a blessed people. Instead of the world instead in the world and even in the church, we focus on this complaining and grumbling. Sometimes we fall into this pattern, this rut of doing that. Get a few people together and the conversation turns into what's wrong with everything and everybody and the way other people are living their lives. If you don't believe me, just turn on your social media and you'll discover that. Kind of becomes a gossip session sometimes. Even in the church. Church, we might try to soften the gossip a little bit, right? It might be some conversations out in the parking lot or over lunch about how much you didn't like the music that morning, or you didn't like that one song that they did, or didn't like the message. I know that never comes up. Or the service went way too long. That one does come up, I'm sure. That prayer took forever. These are the kind of things that sometimes we begin to complain about. You see, we pick things apart because, in a sense, it's become too much a part of what we want and what we desire. It becomes too much about us, life does, instead of about what God desires and wants. We don't realize how much poison there is in complaining. And complaining is one of those things that is just contagious, I think. If you are around somebody that's constantly complaining and you stick it out with them, oftentimes complainers and non-complainers don't actually mesh together real well. Sometimes they're more like water and oil. And the non-complainers just get tired of it, so they kind of leave. And there's separation there. But if you don't, it can just become this contagious thing. We have to be careful that that poison doesn't filter into the church. That poison doesn't flow out of us as believers in Jesus Christ. It's true in our homes, in our relationships, in our church, in our work, in our school. If you've ever been somewhere where there is this negative, critical spirit, it's poisonous. It's contagious. And most of all, it is damaging. It's damaging to your witness, to other people, and to the witness of the church, to other people. To people that don't believe in Jesus Christ. It's often acceptable, and it should not be acceptable, especially in the church. Especially by those of us that claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Grumbling is part of the history of God's people, though, right? When the Israelites, think back to the Old Testament, when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, they grumbled that they were slaves at that time, right? When Moses came and God finally released them out of slavery, they were free for the first time in their lives. For 400 years, the Israelites were in Egypt. Finally, they were able to be set free. They were free for 3 days. 3 days. I want you to see the attitude and their spirit. In Exodus chapter 15, if you're taking notes, it's Exodus 15, we're going verses 22 to 24 here. And just 3 days after their release, this is what we read. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Miracles have taken place, right? God, He parts the Red Sea. Pillars of fire at night are seen. A cloud leads them by the day. The Egyptians were destroyed. To start it all, there were 10 amazing plagues. And now, they're complaining, even though God has blessed them and provided for them. In the very next chapter, if you pick up in chapter 16, verse 2 and 3, it says, "In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron." The whole community. And going on to verse 3, "The Israelites said to them, 'If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all day, ate food that we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death.'" So God does something again that's amazing. He lets a heavenly food fall from the sky, and it's called manna. It even tasted good, right? It's made with honey. How cool is it that God just provides in this miraculous way in this moment for them? God not only gives them heavenly food every day, it actually tastes good. But they're not done with their grumbling. If we go on to chapter 17 of Exodus, it starts out like this. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. There was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Again, God had provided everything for them that they've needed to this point. They're ready to kill Moses and Aaron. God's doing miracles, but nobody's happy because they're not the miracles that they want in that moment. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Right? We're such a blessed people in North America that we can go to our fridges and open our fridge doors. And oftentimes our fridges are filled to overflowing with food in there. And we can stand there with the door open and we can be looking through it all and we can be grumbling because with all the food that's in that fridge, it doesn't have the thing that I want right now, this moment, this second. Am I the only one that does that? I don't know. Maybe. We can be fickle people. The presence, the glory, and the goodness of God was right in front of the people. Their response was grumbling and complaining when they should have been thankful for the fridge full of food. They were overcome with a negative, "What's in it for me today?" kind of spirit. So here's my question, and I think it's a little bit of a tougher question for us. Is grumbling, is complaining, is whining, whatever you want to fill in there, word-wise, is it a sin? So I think a lot of us do it. My answer is yes. See, when the goodness and glory of God is right in front of us, when God is blessing you and God is blessing me, when He is present, when He's caring for you, and all you can do is focus on the things that you don't have and the things that you don't like, when we can't take the time or even have the ability to see God's goodness for what we have, for how we've been blessed, I believe wholeheartedly that's sinful. It becomes a matter of the heart. We believe we are entitled to all these good things, or at a minimum, not so good things that shouldn't happen to us at least. Those things should happen to other people that maybe don't know Christ or people that do bad things in their lives according to our judgment. We begin to believe that we are entitled to the good things in life. But we know that's not always the case. It's not always the way it plays out. We've been around enough to know that as believers. The big issue in our world is how we go about expressing our issues. Too often we tell others in an attempt to have others band with us, to create a team that can can argue with us, argue for us, complain with us, grumble with us, support our grumbling and our arguing. But that's never the right thing to do. It's not the right way to handle it. It's not the right way to offer a complaint or what we like to call constructive criticism, right? That's how we soften the word complaint. Perhaps we should consider going up to the one person that you trust, that you maybe admire, that you know is grounded in their faith, and talk to them and speak to them humbly and sincerely about what it is that you're facing in life, and share with them the struggles that you have. Oftentimes those brothers and sisters in Christ can help put things into perspective for us. Because in our own little world, things begin to build up, and oftentimes we build them up way bigger than they should ever be built up. And the outside perspective from a brother or sister in Christ that is aimed towards living their life Christ-like can bring a whole new perspective to us. I know I've done that with some of my friends where I've been upset about something and I've reached out to them and I've talked to them and I've shared with them how frustrated I am about this or that in my life. And usually it's on the phone, but they'll look back at me, they'll talk back to me and they'll say, "You're seeing this all wrong, man. You're seeing this all wrong. I just need to get over it sometimes." It is appropriate to express, and I want you to get this, it's appropriate to express real concerns, but do it the right way. It's what we're seeing Scripture tell us. We should always invite that, and we should want that. That's how we grow, is by working through the grumbles and the complaints, but by doing it in an honoring, Christ-honoring way. We should want that in the church. We just want to handle things in a way that's glorifying and honoring to God. It should happen in our homes like that. It should happen in our workplaces, our schools. It should happen in our relationships. The most important aspect is to bring honor and glory to Christ. It's the greatest responsibility that we have in this life. I love what Psalm 118 tells us in the first four verses. It says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever." If you know Jesus Christ and you are walking a life that is trying to please and honor Him, we would be in that category of let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. See, I love it because it gives us a progression. We're commanded to give thanks to the Lord because He is good and His steadfast love, His mercy endures forever. Can you just hold on to this? Even when it's not going our way, right? His steadfast love endures forever. And if you are a person that likes to keep scriptures close by, write that one down. Psalm 118, 1 through 4. Such a great reminder for us as believers in Christ. His steadfast love endures forever. So verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Because His steadfast love endures forever." Even when we don't like something, can we still trust in God's goodness and in God's mercy? Can we still see that God is a God of grace? God is changeless. God is dependable. God is eternal. God is faithful. God is holy. God is infinite. God is your friend. God is just. God is majestic. He's pure. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. God is righteous. He's sovereign. God is perfect. God is love. And God loves you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us this. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Some say complaining, depending on the passage that you're looking at or the version you're looking at. That's a good verse for us to memorize as Christians. Not just to write down, but actually to memorize that one. That's a good one for us. If you combine three different versions of Scripture, the ESV version, the New King James Version, the NIV version, it tells us this. It says, do all things without grumbling, arguing, disputing, or complaining. That's pretty solid advice for us as believers. So what am I getting at? We started out this morning looking at this great benediction type passage from Hebrews for a purpose. It should lead us to stop and to pause, to be still, and to give thanks. Maybe life is full of uncertainties for you right now. And I'm not making light of anything that you might be going through. Maybe you're struggling financially right now. Maybe you're struggling physically right now. Maybe you're struggling emotionally. Maybe you're struggling with some loneliness in life. Maybe you're struggling with grief and loss. Maybe you're struggling with anxiety or depression. Maybe you're struggling with job loss. Maybe you're struggling with a tough decision that you know you got to make, but you've been putting off, but it's got to be done. Maybe you're struggling with medical issues, or medical bills. Maybe you're struggling with whatever it is you're struggling with. Can you find someone in your family, a friend, a Christ follower, a person in the church, someone that you can talk to, but somebody who at the end of the day is going to point you to the glory of God. Even as you're struggling, they're going to listen. They're going to point you to the glory of God. Can you do that? I think we experience the richness, the power, and the strength of God's blessings in our lives when we learn to do that. Instead of just grumbling and complaining. He is good. And His mercies and love last forever. If you remember in Hebrews chapter 12, and this goes back probably, I'm thinking, 5-6 weeks now. In Hebrews chapter 12, we saw that Jesus will never, never, never let us go. He will never leave us. He is with us yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Or if you remember how it was worded in one of the passages or one of the Sundays that I shared this with you, He will never not leave you and He will never not forsake you. He is with you. So as a result of knowing that, we need to look to Him even in the midst of our struggles. And in the midst of our complaining and grumbling, or whatever it is, we need to seek God. We need to praise Him. Because from Him, all blessings flow. And just as we read in the book of Exodus this morning, all these good things can be taking place in our lives, but sometimes when it's just that one thing that we want God to do for us, we can get so focused on it that we miss all the good that God is doing. All the ways that God is providing for the Israelites. They miss it because they're so focused on this one thing. I got to wonder how many times does that happen to us? where we get so focused on just one thing and we miss all the good that God is doing. So my encouragement to us as we wrap up this series is that we need to remember that Jesus is good. Jesus is good. He is good to each one of us. He blesses each one of us. He walks with each one of us. He provides for each one of us. Jesus is good. Let's remember that in the days ahead. Lord God, we come to you and I thank you for this day. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come here and we can worship you. Lord God, I would pray that even when we go through times in our lives of struggle, and sometimes those struggles are really real. They are deep and they are painful. I pray that you remind us of this passage that reminds us to give thanks and to praise you. That reminds us in this benediction from the end of Hebrews 13. That you are God. You are God. You're a God that loves us. And we should give praise and glory for that. So Lord God, help us to focus our hearts and our minds on you and your goodness in the days ahead. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.